Golf has an identity crisis. In 2023, the PGA ran a research study finding that 22.4 million people in the UK and Ireland play golf in some way, shape, or form. Of that number, only 4.9 million played golf on a golf course in the traditional sense. And yet, get this, of all of those people, only 70% of them identified as a golfer. When asked what would make them feel like a golfer, they said things like joining a golf club, getting a set of clubs, getting some lessons. But in my view, none of those things individually or collectively are going to make you instantly feel like a golfer. What you need, in my view, is a sense of belonging, a sense of being comfortable in your own skin in golf. What you really need, fundamentally, is happiness. So in the last podcast episode of GYH, I teased to you that something big was coming, something launching on the 1st of April. And so what you're going to hear from me today is the start of that build up to that big launch on the 1st of April. And I'm going to continue to tease it between now and then. But let me contextualize things a bit more for you, leading on from how I've just kicked off this episode. So in the last couple of years of doing Golf Yourself Healthy, and indeed throughout my golfing journey, throughout my years of playing golf, I've come to reflect on how there are certain things which are causing existing golfers who've been playing the game for a long time to, in some cases, turn their back on the game, to walk away from it, to park it, and maybe come back to it, or maybe not come back to it at a later stage in life, or ultimately for them to feel like they just don't belong, to not feel comfortable in their own skin in golf, despite how long they might have played it for. That same thing can be said of newcomers. And actually, that research report that I've just referenced, for which I will put the link in the show notes, brings this out. It evidences that when you ask golfers one of the reasons why they don't identify as being a golfer, they say it's because they don't feel good enough. Now, you could say that's an internal factor. It's the way someone talks to themselves. There could have been things in their past, in their life or in their golf, whatever, that are causing them to speak to themselves in that way or to think about themselves in that way. But the external factor, i.e., golf culture, golf clubs, golf environments, definitely causing for that to happen. And I know that's happened for me from my own firsthand experience. I'd say that golf culture generally does have a lot to answer for here. And in my 20 or so years now of playing golf, during that time, I've lived in Scotland, I've lived in England and Wales, and have been a visitor or a member at various different golf clubs during that time. By and large, those are clubs that have been very traditional in nature, you know, the kinds of places where there's pictures up of former club captains adorning every corridor and decaying mahogany boards in the clubhouse listing off the winners of various tournaments, which are basically golf's equivalent of the LDV Vans trophy, you know, trophies that nobody takes seriously or that you shouldn't necessarily boast about. But, you know, fundamentally, and I'm speaking for myself here, and I'd like to think there'll be others watching and listening to this who feel similar, which is, for some reason, that just makes me feel a little bit uneasy. I don't look at those things and see myself reflected in it. I don't see my values reflected. It doesn't feel to me like an environment where I feel truly comfortable or where I would want to spend much of my time. And so then what ends up happening for me is, I've reached a stage now at the age of 39 where I've come to accept, realistically, I suppose, golf for what it is and golf culture for what it is. And I think that the thing that has allowed me to make allowances for those things and to stick at golf, despite all of its imperfections, especially where culture is concerned, is that I have improved as a golfer. You know, I stayed at a 28 handicap back before the World Handicap System, where the maximum male handicap you could have was 28. I stayed there for ages and I found it deeply frustrating. And the thing that I wanted the most was to get even just to 27. And then it's okay, when I get to 27, I'd feel totally fine. But I've worked hard at my golf and actually I've got it to a point now where 20.7 on WHS. I think I feel comfortable with that. I know that I can get myself around a golf course. There are strengths to my game. I generally know the etiquette and the rules. And that's just through lived experience and repeated exposure to golf. But I don't think it would be right for me or the industry as a whole to just expect that everyone is necessarily going to fall into the same category. Because again, like I've said, there are factors at play here that are evidently from the research holding people back from embracing golf, trying it in the first place, or if they're in it already, staying there in the long term. So if I go back again for a moment to that research and the really curious thing that jumped out at me when saying, you know, of all these millions of people who have tried golf or, you know, in any different shape and form, and to be clear, okay, so that 22.4 million is talking about people who play golf in all of its forms, whether it's mini golf, crazy golf, driving range golf, simulator golf, etc. Everyone in that category, all bundled in together, only or 70% of them do not identify as a golfer. That might come as a surprise to some of you, it might not to others, but to me that seems like a really big number. And to then go on and say that they're saying, those people were asked what would make them feel like a golfer, to see things like become a member of a golf club, well, that is imperfect for a start for the very reasons that I've just given, because in my experience, golf clubs aren't particularly great at customer experience, at making you feel warm and fuzzy and welcome, embracing you as a newcomer to the game or to that golf club. So that's not instantly going to make you feel that sense of belonging. The one where buying equipment, I also feel that's a flawed one as well. And I'll come back to that a bit later on in this episode. But again, to say that, oh, don't worry, you know, despite the fact that you've got no real technical ability yet to speak of, especially if you're new to the game, or if actually you've been stuck at a certain level for a long time, spend £1,000 or £2,000 or dollars on this top brand, and then all of a sudden you're going to be so much better and feel better about yourself. A bit of retail therapy, sure. That's, I mean, I know that myself. When I got a brand new set of Callaway golf clubs when I had fitted for me on my 30th birthday, I loved it. It felt great, you know, but it was temporary. You know, they haven't necessarily revolutionized my game to the extent that these brands might have you believe with all their marketing spiel. So maybe the one of those things that to me does carry some credence is to say, the one I can really relate to though is having lessons. That has worked for me. That has definitely helped me. Now, granted, I have been through a few different coaches over the years, whether that's because I've moved locations or because I actually maybe didn't really find that I was getting very far or didn't particularly like the coaching style or the methods that that coach was using. And I also recognize as well, and you all need to recognize that none of these things, including coaching, are the silver bullet. You, when you go to a golf coach, need to take on board what they teach you and actually put into practice and work on the drills and the techniques that they're showing you outside of that 1 hour golf lesson. So I do believe that that one of all of those things probably can make the biggest difference to that feeling of being a golfer. But going back to my point right at the beginning of this episode is that in and of itself, those things are not going to magically transform you. I would say that we need to work with what we've got. We need to work with what you've got, the swing that you already have, the brain that you've already got. And so looking ahead to what we're building, the extension of this Golf Yourself Healthy community, and all shall be revealed on the 1st of April. So I'm going to keep teasing you between now and then. But I want to help you. I want to directly help you get on the course and stay on the course. And the key difference will be that when you work with me as your golf coach, you'll be playing on a golf course that the legendary Bobby Jones once called or referred to as a 5-inch course. That is the distance between your ears. I'm pointing to my head. This is the distance between your ears. So something fundamentally for me has got to change. I want to make you a happier golfer, a less frustrated golfer, and I'm here to help you with a solution. Wherever you look in golf media, the message tends to be the same all the time. Do this to shoot better scores and you'll be happy. Lower your handicap, hit it further, shoot lower, and happiness will follow. But when we actually step back and look at the data, that story starts to fall apart. In 2024, Golf Digest released a report looking at handicap trends. In 1983, the average handicap index for male golfers was 17, and for female golfers, it was 31.5. Fast forward 40 years, with millions more golfers now officially with official handicap, that average has only come down to 14 for men and 28 for women. On the surface, some of you might say, well, that's progress, Chris. Golfers are clearly getting better. But when you contextualize that with everything else that has changed in the game, it feels modest, to say the least. So think about it. The technological advances in golf clubs and equipment, the improvement in golf course conditions, the modern golf ball, the sheer volume of coaching content now available. I heard recently, by the way, that there's around 7 million different types of golf instruction content on YouTube. Let that sink in. By most measures, the game is arguably easier than it was 40 years ago. And yet, despite all of that, average scores and handicaps using the US, the largest golf market in the world, as a proxy, have largely stayed the same. So the data is telling us something important. Most golfers are not dramatically improving. And that is where the forgotten majority comes in, because the vast majority of golfers are not chasing scratch. They're not aspiring pros. They're people who love the game. They enjoy being outside. They like the challenge. They like the walk, the social side, the company, the escape. So if scores on average aren't really moving, why does the narrative remain so heavily focused on scoring better as the gateway to happiness? Why can't we shift the conversation towards something much more honest and inclusive? Play golf for enjoyment, play golf for connection, play golf for the sheer happiness of playing golf. Because if we keep telling people that lower scores are the only thing that matter, we risk alienating the very people who lie at the heart of the game. As I follow on from this impassioned perspective that I've just shared with you, there's an idea, something I've been thinking about a lot recently, and it is this. In golf, we should be striving for happiness first and handicap later. Let me explain. Over the last year, I've become friends with a group of three lads, all of whom are similar stage in life to me, similar age, they're all young fathers, they have young kids, limited time, busy schedules. And the thing that's really bonded us together, aside from being dads, is golf. We get out when we can, usually just 9 holes, nothing serious. And when we're done, we head into town and grab a curry, have a chat, and a bit of a laugh. That routine, the golf, and what comes after it, has become the real glue for us. Of those three guys, only one of them had played golf before. And what's interesting is why he stopped. He didn't leave the game because he hated golf. He left it because he felt mocked. Mocked for the shoes he was wearing because the brand of shoe wasn't good enough or expensive enough. Mocked for the golf clubs he was using because they weren't good enough either. And ultimately, he never felt like he truly belonged at that prestigious top 100 golf club he was a member of. Not because he didn't love the game, but because he wasn't a good enough player. That experience pushed him away. And when I look at all three of those guys now, there's a common theme that has really stood out from our time playing together in the last year. None of them have any interest whatsoever in getting an official handicap. They're not chasing numbers. They're not worried about where they rank. What they care about the most is playing to a competent enough level to enjoy themselves, not to slow anyone down, to feel comfortable out on the course. But more than that, they care about the social side, getting outside, spending time with each other, switching off for a few hours, and then sitting down afterwards for a nice boona and a proper chat. And that is where really I think this idea has come from for me. This community mindset of happiness first and handicap later. Because for a lot of people, especially at this stage in their life, golf isn't about prestige or perfection. It's about connection, enjoyment, and feeling like you belong. If we get that right and make you happier in golf, the rest can come later. So if any of what I've just said to you in the last 15, 20 or so minutes resonates with you strongly or has piqued your curiosity and you're not already subscribed to Golf Yourself Healthy on YouTube or on any of the audio podcast platforms that you are listening to this on or watching, if you're watching on YouTube, get subscribed, because between now and the 1st of April, I'm going to continue on these themes. I'm going to explore them further. I'm going to continue to build up this idea of happiness first, handicap later, and all shall be revealed in good time. But for now, I'd like to thank you very much for watching and listening. And as I always say to you, embrace the rough and cherish the fairway. See you next time.